The car from Carvana's here. Well, will you look at that? It's exactly what I ordered. Like, precisely. It would be crazy if there were any catches. But there aren't, right?
Right. Because that's how car buying should be. With Carvana, you get the car you want. Choose delivery or pickup and a week to love it or return it.
Buy your car today with
Carvana.
Delivery or pickup fees may apply. Limitations and exclusions may apply. See our 7-day return policy at Carvana.com.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Game Spoilers Podcast. My name is Jeremy. Joining me, as always, is Kerry Palmer.
Hi.
And June Williams.
Hello.
Today, we are talking about the video game known as Umurangi Generation. This is a podcast where every month we play a different game. Sorry, there's a cat playing with Kerry's cable.
For the first time in 2.5 years. Oh, my. Oh, he's hooked into me. Oh. For the first time in 2.5 years, we are recording in my house, which means we record with my cat. And not just my cat, because since last time we added another one. So,
cats.
We have Fenris. Fenris, do you want to say hi? Oh, he's leaving. Okay. And we also have Griffin, who may get up and go to the bathroom and scream.
And also yell, yeah.
Griffin is smiling.
Griffin's very chill right now. Yes. But you may, if not on this podcast, in the next podcast we record, you may hear her scream.
Look forward to that.
Yes, Game Spoilers Podcast is a podcast that we do every month where we all play a specific video game and talk about it from cover to cover. You can find everything that we do, including this podcast and other episodes of this podcast and other podcasts that we do. We do a lot of podcasts at this point.
Yeah, man.
Say so podcasting again.
Yes, on the website, minimap.com.au. And if you like what you hear and you want to support us, you can go to patreon.com/minimapau also. Yeah, like I said, today we're going to be talking about Umurangi Generation, which was my game of 2020.
Mm.
Year of our Lord.
I don't think God was present last year, actually.
Yeah, so I have spoken a bit about it on our other podcasts, specifically Minimapcast. You two finished it last night and today.
Mm-hmm.
I would very much like to hear your thoughts on this video game, on this here video game, Umurangi Generation.
Do you want to
just
go first?
Just go for it?
Yeah.
Are we doing like our sum up, or are we diving straight in?
We can do the sum up. I mean, the story is like...
Not necessarily the sum up, but are we doing like a sum up of our feelings before diving in?
I think that's usually what we do first, isn't it? We usually talk about how we feel about the game.
Yeah.
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 Who wants to go first?
I think Jeremy hyped it up too much.
Okay.
I think Jeremy hyped it up too much. I think it was good. I wish I had...
It's interesting, right? Because he tried to say next to nothing about the game.
Yeah.
All he said is that.
But I think because you said nothing, it made it like... Oh, it must be excellent. You don't want anything to be spoiled. Not one single thing. I think that I wish I had more time to spend. I wish I had not rushed it because I had to get it done. I wish I put more time into it.
Right. Like played it earlier.
Yeah. I wish I played it. That's on me. That's not the game's fault. It was good. I had fun. I don't know, Kerry. What do you think?
I am not in love with this game. I am sad to say. I am not as not in love with it as I was at the start. I was very upset with the game when I first loaded it up because I tried playing it in my lounge room with the projector, streaming it to my laptop from my computer in the study, and it didn't go well. It's worked before in the past with a previous game, Spoilers game, actually, when I played all of A Short Hike that way on the projector through my laptop, streamed from the blah, 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 blah. And it ran great, and it was fun, and it was delightful, and it was no latency issues. But there was a lot of latency when I was playing this, and it sucked. And it took me an hour to set up, and then I had to give up on it. And so I was very grumpy when I was playing.
Is that the game's fault?
It's not the game's fault. And the reason I'm bringing that up is because when I played it the first level, and I was learning it, I think this game's design sort of sits at odds with me in some regards, and that odds sitting was heightened by my my disappointment with how I'd been playing it for the previous hour. So then I was just all like, ah! So I went away and I watched a speed run or something, and I came back and I felt much better about it. But still, this game, it doesn't... This game spoke to me more when I thought about it later. And I went away and I thought about it and I was like...
I can understand why you enjoyed it so much.
Yeah.
Like, it's a very Jeremy game.
It's an extraordinarily Jeremy game.
Yeah. I think part of the issue... Like, I understood it more when I thought about it after the fact. I think some of its game design is it really at odds with itself in ways that really frustrated me. But I also think it has some... a great style and some incredible visuals. It does a lot with very little. Which is something I like in sort of like almost like a Donut County Frog Detective kind of way, that low poly, you know, lo-fi, I guess, kind of way.
Yeah. It's very jet set. Like, it explicitly, like...
Oh, that's why you get roller skates.
Like, I probably, right? Like, as far as I can tell, yeah, that was like the biggest reason they added roller skates in the DLC was because, like, the game is already in love with Jet Set Radio.
Yeah.
And takes many, like... many visual design elements from Jet Set Radio.
Yeah, absolutely. But I think one of the biggest things that meant that I wasn't fully in tune with this game.
Kerry has the biggest wind-ups for sneezes I've ever seen in my life.
I wanted to power through it, and I was like, no, it's not going to work.
You look horrified every time you're about to sneeze.
So, I at least it's not like a...
yeah.
You know, that's just like a... Anyway, sorry, Griff. I think one of the ultimate reasons why I didn't really key into this game is that this game tries to get you to sit in a vibe, right? I think that's fair to say. Like, just the style and the music and the all the graffiti everywhere and the... Like, there's a vibe to this game,
yep.
You know? It's not my vibe.
Right, yeah.
Which I think is a big issue if you're going to this game and this isn't your vibe, then it's going to be... Like, I had to turn down the audio because the music kind of, like made me, like, anxious.
Really?
Okay. Yeah. Like, the music just, like, it keyed me up and I wasn't enjoying it. And so I had to turn it down so
I
didn't get...
The music was the best part of this game.
And the music's great, but I couldn't sit with it.
It was getting you too amped. not for a photography game.
I wasn't getting psyched. I was getting, like, actively anxious.
Right. Okay. That's interesting.
Anyway, Jeremy, what are your... Give us your sum up, and then we'll dive into it, I guess.
I think fair to say that this is the boldest game of 2020. In terms of what it is trying to say, how it says it, and how it sort of, like... What it doesn't, like, censor itself in many ways.
It's a very unique way to tell a story.
Yes. I said this on the podcast as well. I think this is also a very uniquely 2020 game.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, I think, like, a lot of it will still land going, like, if you play that game at the end of this year, at the end of next year, because I think the issues that it's talking about, it's not like those issues go away.
No.
Which we'll get into. But I think it is an incredibly contemporary video game in a way that is rare.
Yeah.
And I also think coming out of the games that came out of 2020, specifically surrounding some of the political messages that were coming out from larger games, Watch Dogs Legion, it's saying things that it shouldn't be bold to say these things.
Yeah.
But it is because of the spinelessness that exists in the majority of AAA.
Yeah.
I like this game a lot. I'm not going to say it's a perfect video game. But I think what it tries to do, I think, lands in a way that is incredibly thought-provoking. Like, I think I'm actually curious to see how you feel about this game in a month, both of you.
Yeah.
Just in terms of, like, I remember when I beat the game, I was like, wow, that was sick, and I loved it. And then I said this to you, Kerry. I was like, oh, I can't stop thinking about this game. Yep. Like, literally, like, it hasn't left my mind since I finished playing it, and it is still not left my mind after I finished playing it in ways that most games don't. So, yeah, plus, like, the music is sick and is made by someone named, like, Adolf Nomura, I think, is the name of the composer.
Oh, my God.
But I think their real name is Thor. So they've just got, like, it's just, like, it's a lot. It's great. Should we go into the story, I guess? Or the, like, the story of the video game?
The plot?
Yes. The direction.
Yeah, we could.
Yeah?
Yeah. Do you want me to do that? As per normal?
Yeah, sure. I have a list of the levels here in front of me as well.
I think I can remember pretty clearly. It's not too many.
Yeah.
You want a timer?
What do you reckon?
I reckon you can do it in a minute.
Yeah? I reckon I could.
Hang on a second.
Okay, we're getting a timer, everyone. We're getting my minute. Minute story wrap up.
All right.
So you play as this person who has a camera in with this group of friends who just like hang out and do street art, and they're on top of a building and there's like artillery shells and blue bottles, like octopus everywhere, and you just like hang out with them and they go to like a street party and there's like the UN are like have guns and there's like quarantine zones and it's weird, and then these big blue bottle squids attack. They're like really big, they're like kaiju big, and then you get to go with these teenagers as they go through the process of being refugees in their own country as these blue bottle squids attack, and it happens in throughout all of these little interstitial levels. You go to each level, which is this like moment in time, and there's like a camp that gets overrun and you're on a train going somewhere, and then you get to the end, and then by the way, we're also talking about the DLC, and then the UN start using the big anti-kaiju thingies to turn on the like protesters and the rest of their population, and it's bad and protests.
Yeah.
99% of that is correct.
Great. Nailed it.
Only the I think so. Okay. So we'll talk about, I think, the DLC a little bit separately.
Okay. And we are going to talk about the DLC.
Yes. Time. Yes. I think they are a complete package together.
Yeah.
Like
I feel like the main game was made outside of 2020 for 2020. And I feel like Macro was made inside of 2020, like in direct result of 2020.
I think that is fair to say. But did you know that Macro is a prequel?
Holy shit. No.
Yes. Macro is set in the canon. That's time, not cameras. before the base game of Umurangi Generation.
Is that stated anywhere?
Not inside the game.
Yeah.
Is it like on the store page or?
It's referenced throughout the game, and then the
holy
developer.
Shit.
That's interesting.
Don't have the name in front of me.
That reframes a lot.
Yes.
How does that? The ending of Macro was.
So the ending of Macro is what caused. So okay, so. Like let's dig in.
Okay, Jeremy.
Okay, so a lot of your group of friends.
Yeah.
The gang.
Yeah. The three humans and the penguin.
The three humans and the penguin. Well, you're including four humans and a penguin.
Four, yeah. And you're the fourth.
Yeah. They are like just vibing a lot of the time.
Yeah.
And I think that's intentional because at this point, the lower class in this universe, right? There's an elite class, which is the business people that are in the Gamers Paradise in the DLC.
Yeah.
The people that run the UN, and then there's the lower class. You are not part of the elite class, but because you were taking photos, they allow you to see things that you wouldn't usually see.
Which is weird.
Yes. You've already lost the fight. The lower class has already lost the fight.
Yes.
And which is why I think a lot part of the main game of Umurangi is a little bit not sad and defeatist, but a little bit like we tried in some regard. Whereas the ruling class, I think, is that they bring out these Eva units because like it's
very Evangelion. Yes, I haven't watched Evangelion, and I know it's Evangelion.
Yeah, it is 100% Evangelion. They send out the Evas, not because they want to, like, my read anyway, was that they didn't care about, like, saving the Earth. They basically just wanted to win the war. a lot of it, like there was no regard for what was happening elsewhere.
Right, and that's, you kind of see that in like the first level, how on the skyscraper, like the building's still covered in like gigantic shells of like bullets that are the size of people. Like they're in a battlefield.
Yes, like they're in the middle of a war zone, or what was a war zone, what becomes a war zone later on. And throughout the game, there are reoccurring characters in between levels which are getting more and more displaced by this war that is continuing to move through the levels. Which I think is a lot of the, a lot of the game was inspired by the macro part of it, which includes the protest level, was, I'm going to assume, very inspired by Hong Kong, and then later was then inspired by America and Black Lives Matter. Mm. A majority of the base game, I believe, is a response to the bushfires that went through Victoria. So Umurangi means red sky, which is war, but it's also, I think, just in terms of like the end.
Yeah.
Like the very ending of the game says...
Yes.
I've got the line here somewhere.
The last generation who has to watch the world die.
Yes.
Yeah, this is dedicated to the Umurangi generation.
Well, yeah, dedicated to the Umurangi generation, or the last generation that gets to watch the world die.
Yeah. And that's what this game's about, right? It's about these teenagers, these kids, who have to live through the end of the world.
Yeah. Yeah.
They don't just see the history happen. Like, they're living through it.
And there are more overt references to Australia as well. Like, there was a great one I saw, which was on a TV. I think I wrote it down. Maybe I did not. If I didn't, that's annoying.
There was a... while you're finding it, there was a billboard that said like the new Sydney or something like that.
Yeah, I saw that.
Right, okay.
Metro level.
Because like everything else was like drowning or something like that.
Well, there was that, but I saw one which was like in the middle of one of like the war levels. There's a TV. It might have been on the train, or no, that's right. It was a newspaper that was on the train level that said Prime Minister enjoying his holiday.
Right.
Which is a reference to when Scott Morrison went to Hawaii in the middle of the bushfires.
Yeah.
And just like decided to just not become Prime Minister for a while. Okay, let me rephrase that. He never became Prime Minister because he's never done anything. However, he decided to actively leave his job.
Yeah.
Because it's really
clocked off.
Yeah, it's really tiring doing nothing. So yeah, and so then like you see the Umurangi generation macro story is you trying to at least fight for your rights in some way. There's not a lot of like explicit what specifically you're protesting, but a lot of it is like colonialism, like neo-fascism, sort of that sort of stuff, neoconservatism. And I think the final level is like, there was a reason why I think I messaged the group chat immediately after I finished the final level, which was like, oh, okay, this is like required viewing.
Yeah, it is.
Should we talk about the final level, or do you want to go sort of more in order of the other levels first?
I don't mind.
I don't know. It's hard. Yeah. I think I would have said maybe talk about it at the end, except knowing it's a prequel, I think maybe we should talk about it now.
Okay. Let's go in order of the macro levels then. Bowen Town. No, sorry. That was the final level. So the game is Paradise is the first level in story.
Very strange. 2D and 3D waifus.
Yes, yes. A lot of blockchain wives. Yeah. You'll see DJ Tariq.
Fucking my favorite character.
Yep. DJ Tariq.
The dolphin that raps and also calls you a bitch.
Yes.
Yeah.
Which is very good.
has a self-called bitch tape. DJ Tariq is great and like just excellent in so many ways.
I didn't enjoy DJ Tariq in the main game when there was no context.
Yeah.
And it was all of a sudden, it was like seven levels in, and all of a sudden this Microsoft Sam voice starts swearing at me. Yeah. I'm like, I'm trying to take photos. I've only got 10 minutes. Shut up.
I've got notes here. I think maybe the most interesting part of that level was if you leave. Did anyone go up the stairs?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. and the second you leave the room, the music stops.
The music stops, and there's like a low and humming like or
the,
a hiss.
No, you hear like the bombs and stuff outside.
Yeah.
Yeah, like you hear bombs going off. You hear like a siren that's saying...
There's a broadcast. Yeah.
Like evacuation or whatever.
Warning the city is going to lock down and you hear explosion sounds.
There's signs downstairs as well saying like hours until lockdown ends, like 7 hours or something like
that's
that.
That's right,
so
yeah.
It's like, what does that mean? And then you go upstairs, you're like, oh,
yeah,
I see.
Yeah, it's not like this game is not a subtle video game. No. I think the macro levels I think do a little bit of a better job showing the class differences.
Mm-hmm. It's very overt in macro what's going on,
and I think for even better effect, so the second level is the big UN hangar room.
So the second level
in macro, yeah.
Right. Okay.
Where you see like.
Big mech.
You see Eva Unit 1.
Yeah.
did anyone go in the other room?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. So the first time I played macro, I didn't know the other room was there. I just missed that corner.
Yep.
And then I heard people on a podcast talking about it. I was like, what?
I didn't really know what to make of that one. Just that there was a room where the mech had been getting fucked up by the blue bottles.
I didn't read it as getting secret. Fucked up. I read it as like the mechs exist via like the blue bottles.
Yeah. Oh, they were using them.
Yeah. Like, that room is... It's basically just, like, Evangelion fan
service.
Yeah,
that's just, like, the plot of Evangelion.
Yeah.
Right, okay.
Yeah. Which is, like... I thought that... Like, that part was cool. That part wasn't, like, a message or anything in my mind.
You thought that was more referential?
A little bit, yeah.
Yeah, I did... As someone who hasn't watched Evangelion, I was just kind of in there, like... Don't really know what to make of this.
it's pretty, like... It's a little bit frightening. Because that's another
it's
room
like
where the music
stops. It's
silent
in there, right? Yeah, yeah. And there's the two body bags on the ground with like blood surrounding them. And then you like pan
red.
Up and then there's like whatever the fuck's going on.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I read it as that one like needed repairs.
Right,
which is why the like orange people were standing on it, like looking up, like, we got to fix this somehow.
Yeah. The third level in macro was the sewer level.
The underground.
With the rat queen.
See, I played this literally like half an hour ago, and like I had to watch a walkthrough so I could do it faster because like I was going to be late.
That level was hard.
And it was hard, and so it was like there was a lot to find in both of those levels, and like I wish that I had spent more time looking around, finding it myself rather than looking at someone else trying to find it.
I want to get into this more later when we're not in the middle of like the story bit because the story is important separate to these issues that I had. But fuck, I got bored of looking for stuff in this game.
Yeah.
I got so over it. Like, I would get to the point where I had been everywhere in the map and I'd be like, well, fuck.
But I've got stuff. I want to save stuff about that. Let's.
Yeah, I think we should save that for later. But I'm with you, June.
Like, we'll split some of the game from the story bit.
Yeah, yep, yep, yep. Definitely.
I don't have like a lot of strong feelings of the sewer room.
I think it was a very impressively
a lot happening.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's an impressive environment. Like the bar in the shipping container and like all of the tents like and the rat queen and all of the in macro you get a lot more text on walls and so there's a lot more here as like protest stuff and like make sure you weren't followed and yeah, a lot of stuff here that I thought was really interesting.
Mm.
So many weapons.
Yeah. So, like, I believe this was, like... Because there are punks throughout the main game who are, like anti-fascist punks.
Mm.
I believe this is, like, their... I guess their hideout. Their whatever the civilization is, I guess. They grow a lot of weed down there.
Yeah, they do.
This level doesn't have a whole lot in terms of like the story beats. I think this is like sort of more like world building.
Yeah.
Like it's a neat level. I think it's probably my least favorite level, just in terms of like I think. Yeah, like we'll talk about that other stuff later. And the final level in macro is the protest.
Yeah, and when the game mechanics like flips on its head and you're no longer getting dollars for your photos, but you're trying to garner. Like social media clicks and likes, you're trying to gain virality of taking photos of these protests, and instead of getting dollars reduced for taking photos of blue bottles because no one wants to see blue bottles because they're destroying the world, you get dollars reduced for taking photos of the protesters' faces if you're too close, if they could be identified.
I didn't realize that. That's cool.
Yeah, like I think that was maybe my favorite. Mm. Like honestly, my favorite part of the entire game. When Australia had their Black Lives Matter, well, when Melbourne rather had their Black Lives Matter protest, I do not remember what month it was.
It was June.
Mm. It was right.
It was right as we were in between our first and second waves.
Right. Okay. Yeah.
And people were worried about it being COVID safe and masks and stuff like that. But
and it ended up being basically.
Yeah. And so then when the second wave happened, like a couple of weeks later, everyone was like, oh, it's the BLM protests, and all of the contact tracing said it had nothing to do with that protest at all.
Because fucking everyone there was wearing masks.
Yeah.
Like I was going around with my camera, in that protest.
Mm.
And I was like taking photos, so I could try and like hand them out to non-Murdoch owned outlets being like, hey, maybe do you want some of these photos that I've taken? And I had to also keep that in mind. I had to literally go around and try and avoid taking photos of people's faces, to stop them being identified. And it was like when the level introduced that mechanic, I was like, oh shit, like they know like their stuff. Like they understand what like that fight is to many people. Mm. So when the game brought it up, I thought that was like an incredible way to change their mechanics, but still keep it like mechanically the same, but just like reframe that context for everything.
Yep.
And then after you complete all of the tasks, you then go up to there's a statue there's a statue that is at least the end of the protest.
Mm.
I'm not sure which is what.
It's the monument.
Yeah. There's a monument at the end of the protest. And when you go up there, the sky goes completely black. And there is red text all over the sky.
Stop.
Yes. And a big EVA unit comes down and looks at you. Yeah, just like
squats
it,
on you.
It sure looks directly at you. Did anyone else change the fisheye lens? Because it looked sick. And like that.
Oh, era. That would have been cool.
I took a lot of pictures. I can't remember what I took there.
I took a lot of pictures as well. Of that big fucking EVA unit.
I didn't even think to.
It was just like a good aesthetic with like the red and black and like the eyes just and the like eyes. It was good.
Yeah. And then the game like has this really intense moment where the music stops dead. And you just start hearing like pops behind you.
They're like fireworks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Then like, but they're kind of like firecrackers. They're kind of quiet. They're not really loud, but you can definitely hear them behind you. And then police just start rocking up and just like beating and killing protesters.
So this, when I played this, I skated to the back through the level to get to the firecrackers, and I just skated into a police person who just like smacked my head. So I didn't even see what's going on.
Right. Did you go back and like look at it, or was it just like?
Well, I mean, after that point, there was craters. You know, when you because you get like taken to like above the level after that.
Yeah. Right.
But I didn't go back to the level.
Did you spend a lot of time?
No, I had to rush it.
Right, okay. So, like, you... Like, at that point, it's like you are just avoiding police.
Right.
And they are chasing you around the level. And, like, you can hide from them relatively easily because you can double jump onto, like, the top of, like, a tent. But for the most part, like, they are fast and they just, like, whack you and the screen just goes black. And it's pretty fucking full on.
Yeah.
For a game to say something like this in the way that it's said, I think is quite impressive. Which was like, this was like the reason I said that I think the DLC is very important. And then the final part of that is you then on the rooftops next to where the protest was, and there's overturned trucks and fire and lots of things. And you can then, you get the selfie camera and you can take a photo of yourself in front of, the destroyed debris, which throughout lots of last year I've seen many photos that looked almost identical to that. And then the DLC ends and the rest of the game begins,
and like the scene setting there is so impressive, and I hadn't thought of the Hong Kong protest, Jeremy, but I think that's so important because of all the umbrellas, which is was like the sign that was the visual indicator of the Hong Kong protests.
There were umbrellas, there were gas canisters and spray bottles for the tear gas.
There was a group there doing the haka,
yep
which was cool.
Yeah, this game is full of indigenous Maori culture and references and in the sewer levels, one of the weapons you have to find is a Maori weapon.
Yes. Did you all get to read much of the text in this section? So there was so much.
Yeah.
And a lot of it started to become, a lot of it was direct, like a lot of it was like pick a side or fuck off and ACAB and have you just tried talking it out and then like written over the top of it, shut up and stuff like that. Like a lot of angry messages, but then also like direct responses to what might have been feedback for the main game. Where so I wrote some of them down.
Mm-hmm.
So these are just some of the ones I wrote down from that final level. It's all stats and collateral until a fascist gets milkshaked, which is. I don't remember who it was, but, you know, when someone got that milkshake thrown at them and it was all...
Well, like, I mean, a lot of Nigel Farage, Alex Jones, I think Richard Spencer got one thrown at him.
And then there was one that said, if you wanted a spineless look at what's going on, go play Watch Dogs or some shit.
Yep. I fucking love that they specifically call out.
I know, and there was multiple of them where it was just like, this isn't your game if that's what you wanted.
Yeah.
And then another one that said, if you need them to look like Nazis, you really are a marketer's dream.
Yeah.
They, you know, there is no veil at the end of this level.
Yeah.
And, you know, for someone who sometimes doesn't always appreciate deep metaphors or allegories, not that I don't appreciate them, but I feel they go over my head, I greatly appreciated the earnestness of this level.
There's one that I can remember off the top of my head, which is a lot of dogs walking around on 2 feet.
Yeah.
Which was a good one.
There was so much.
Yes. There's a ton of like anti-cop graffiti in that level, which is all really great. I suppose we'll talk about the main game now. So main like the first level is on top of your skyscraper. The name of it is Mao View.
Yeah, looking over the mountain. Did anyone ever, you know, like 1 minute and there's like a jet or something that goes across? Did anyone ever see it?
I don't know if I saw the jet.
I never saw it. And I did that level a number of times, and we'll get to that later. But every time it would happen, I'd be like, oh, fuck yeah. At 1 minute, 9 seconds, I got to remember to look. And it happened. I'd be like, shit. And I'd always, if there is something, I always missed it.
Yeah. I think this level's kind of neat. Like, I kind of want to hang out there.
Yeah, well, that's their hangout,
yeah,
isn't it?
But
yeah.
It's like it's a really cool hangout. Like,
yeah.
There's a lot of like, just like there's like random skateboards and there's like empty spray paint cans everywhere. And there's like, yeah, like cool couches. There's a little pool. There's like a ton of like cassette tapes and boom boxes everywhere and pens
Seagulls.
And markers. And
I want a penguin friend.
Oh my god, right? The penguin's so good.
I love him.
I like how they never talk about them. No, there's just a penguin.
Just
yeah.
I just love that the penguin in the protest level, when your friends are finally following you, which is cool in that protest level, that the penguin's on the back of the camo jacket guy.
Yes, yes, yeah. The penguin like wouldn't be able to keep up.
Yeah, it's just like hanging out.
Yeah. The second level is the barracks level.
Yeah, they're like the UN checkpoint.
Yeah, like this.
It's such like a they really like throw you in.
Yes,
I guess like straight away it's like, oh, here it is.
Yeah,
here is the meat of the game, I guess. Yep. Right now,
get ready. There's a war coming. Yeah. Literally. I think in this game they do a pretty good job at reusing the levels because I think every level gets used twice, or at least most levels get reused twice.
I mean, not every, like this, like the train and the subway and like the cities and stuff, but these early levels.
I think
levels,
there was only two that got reused twice.
I think you're right.
Yeah. Oh yeah, right. It's four levels, early levels. Yeah.
I liked this one because it's still sort of doing it in like a lighthearted kind of way, even though it was like not lighthearted at all. Like there's a what is the shark? Like it's a gun, right? It's like a grenade, like a missile.
Oh, Sharky, it's a mortar launcher.
Yeah.
And that's got jokes and stuff on the wall about it and stuff like that. And then like when you see it later in levels, it's like been blown up and like shit. That was neat.
Yeah. Mm. It's like a barracks, but like when there's not like, when they're not near the enemy line.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there's like there's kind of some neat jumping puzzles in terms of like fences that are knocked over, and you can sort of walk up the fence that's like hanging over this seemingly floating barracks.
Yeah,
in the
this was weird that this is just like an island barracks, like nothing up, below, left, or right of it, anything nearby.
Yeah.
My issue with are we talking about mechanics? Can I talk about mechanics? I'm going to do that. Can I do that? Are we going to go through the levels first?
I mean, we could talk about the mechanics of the levels if you'd like.
Okay. So I didn't know that you could double jump until like halfway through the game.
Yeah,
because it never tells you. I think my issue with the first level and the issue with like maybe the game in general, it's like it doesn't really tell you what to do.
Yeah.
There's no, like, it assumes that you're going to play the tutorial first, and I'm not going to play the tutorial. And
honestly, I did
feel
the
like
tutorial
it,
and I had a lot of
yeah,
questions. Yeah.
I feel like it wouldn't have been that hard to include the tutorial or include some kind of this is how you play the game in the first level.
Right.
I feel like the first level was pretty set out to it could have done it well with what it was. Like, I don't know, I wish I knew how to double jump in that second level because when I went to play it again when shit was happening, I realized you could double jump and I wish I could double jump
yeah.
when I played it the first time.
Right, gotcha.
Because I must have missed so much. But
yeah.
Well, yeah, because like some of the film, whatever they're called, some of the film collectibles are
yeah.
like on top of
yeah.
roofs.
Mm.
You
need
to like
that.
Jump up around the
I
side
know
of
that.
The level.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I feel like there was something else that it didn't tell you. Just like the recreating the postcard stuff. Like I had to Google like what the fuck is this green thing?
Right, right.
Because
right.
I had no idea.
I mean
that was covered in the tutorial.
It was yeah. okay.
And the postcard stuff is, like, those are all optional.
Yeah, but, like, I don't know. I start, like, trying to take a picture for ages at, like, what am I taking a picture of? Like, there's just, like, no
right.
explanation.
The game's optional objectives, what I understand of them now is that they're the consistent objectives. They're the objectives that are in every level. Every level there's a postcard. Every level there's film to collect. Every level there's a target of money to
money.
Hit.
Take
and
a pic of your friend. So.
Yeah, exactly. And, but what it meant, because it was like, oh, it's optional, it's all good, except there's a timer in your corner literally the whole time.
Yeah.
You can't turn it off. It's there from the first time you load the level. These optional objectives are presented to you as very beneficial, as something you should be looking out for, as something that is not optional. I don't know. I think my conversation about that is too large for this section. I think we should move on. But yeah, I've got a lot to say about the,
right, okay.
the objectives.
The... Third level is the reddish city, Kati Kati.
This is my favorite one.
With the memorial
yeah.
and yeah.
The atmosphere of it was really cool, and I really liked the neon the lights, the memorial with the bird on top of the, and it was kind of industrial, when you look up, it was really neat. I really liked that one.
Yeah.
The music was really good.
And there was there's like a Maori building as well, like. Mm. I don't know what it's called. Like I saw them when I was in New Zealand, and they were like, they're built like 4 or 5 feet above the ground, as a defense sort of thing. And then like I think some of them you enter from like the middle up like a ladder,
right?
As like a good way to an old defense tactic basically, which then they had then adopted into. More recent Maori architecture, which was cool to see that in that game as well, especially in that level. The fourth level is the Strand, which was the big neon pink city.
It's like the neon city party,
yeah.
street party thing.
I really like those dances that are just like in front, like in the middle of the road, in front of all of these cars, just like dancing nonstop. Which just like appreciated them just like literally chilling in the middle of the city dancing.
Yeah, it was a weird environment, right? And it's because like that street was like locked off on all sides.
Yeah.
And it was just like the UN was there to just watch them party.
Oh, did you not see the other thing?
I didn't make sense of it.
Okay, so if you go up all the way to the top, there's like a bunch of stairs you can take, which like go up some scaffolding.
Yeah, they're like fire escapes or something.
Yeah, yeah. You can see that there's like a part of like one of the robots like destroyed an entire fucking building.
Right.
Like there's like an entire skyscraper that is like no longer there because it just got crushed by part of a robot.
Holy shit.
And they like just sort of like, it seems very nonchalant for the UN, like just like them, like they're there to retrieve that part of like the robot, but they don't care at all about any other part of the anybody else that's there. Mm. Apart from if you get close, then they like.
Is that the same thing that the metro was destroyed, right? As well in that section, is that the same thing that you're talking about?
The metro.
Yeah, there was like a construction,
yeah,
destruction in that section too. That I think it was the metro. Like it said, there was a sign that said the metro, and it was just like destroyed. But then you go to the metro later, so I don't know. Maybe. I don't know.
I'm not sure off the top of my head.
Either way, doesn't matter.
Then we come to Contact, which is the...
Right, that's the barracks level again, except...
Yes.
Everything's shot to hell, and
yes.
there's squid all over the level.
Yeah, there's a lot less of you to look at in this level.
I hated this level.
You hated that level?
Yeah.
Why is that?
It's too dark, couldn't see anything. Everything was boring to take pictures of. This is when I learned how to double jump, so it was like I didn't know what I was doing for half the time because I was like, how do I get up it? How
right, okay, gotcha. Here? I don't know why I knew that I could double jump immediately.
They show you, I think they show you a list of the controls in the tutorial. Because that was when I figured it out, was when I went to the controls. Yeah. I was like, hang on. I was like, oh, double jump. What? Okay.
Right, okay.
Yeah.
I thought that level was like, it was like a neat reuse of everything.
Yeah, and it was good scene setting.
Yeah, like seeing that giant fucking, like, rather almost not seeing the giant, like, kaiju in the back. Mm. Was quite like ominous and freaky,
and all of the like lasers going across the sky.
Yeah,
yeah.
And I think that's like the first time you realize like what the war that the UN is fighting is against.
Yeah.
Because until then, I was like, why are the blue bottles? And then like, what is this? And then yeah, then you see that they are part of the other force.
Yes.
I don't know. I don't know if I call them the enemy. They're just like the other part, the other
nature.
Yeah. And then there's the train level.
Yeah.
Actually, you know, this was the best one.
You didn't like the train level?
I hate this one.
Is that because you couldn't take a photo of the red light?
Yeah, that fucking too. But like...
Yeah.
It.
Oh, really? That red light was like a cheeky fucking one.
Hated it.
But I figured it out and it took me 5 minutes to make it happen.
Yeah, because you have to wait. The game
wouldn't give it to me.
Oh, really?
I took so many photos of those lights.
Oh, are they not like common?
No, they're common. It just didn't give it to me.
Oh, right, okay.
And then I looked it up and they're like, here's the light. I'm like, fuck, I know that's the light. I wanted it to be I was missing something.
Right.
Because it didn't give it to me.
Right.
Anyway.
I think three of the pictures, like, you just do, like, the big wide zoom and then just take a picture of the main carriage. Yeah. And then you get, like, all three of them. the cereal, the flag, or not the flags. Like, you know, there's, like, three different ones, like, in that main room.
That are just, like, notes.
Coffee and so I spent so long trying to find each individual one, and then I watched a walkthrough of them just taking three photos of, like, the main room. It's like, well, this is stupid.
I think this was the first time I started to notice the reoccurring characters.
I didn't notice. I didn't notice any recurring characters.
Yeah. Right, okay. Like, as you go through, you start to, collect, or, like, as more and more people become displaced, they sort of follow along the trajectory of, like, well, where do I go now?
Mm.
They would have been in the cities that were destroyed, and they're on the train traveling towards the metro to find out where they go from the UN. This level was kind of sad.
Yeah.
This was, like, the first, like, really, like, kind of like heartbreaking level.
Yeah, because I was like, you know, you start the level and I was kind of looking around the carriage. I was like, oh, there's people sitting here, it's cool. And then I walk past the window, I'm like, oh fuck.
Yeah.
And like everything is destroyed.
Yeah.
Nothing is intact.
Yeah, like there was like not a single fucking thing left.
Yeah. Yeah, that was intense, that moment. And then yeah, there's the soldiers in there covered in blood and
Yeah. And then there's only like 2.5 levels left, which is the first one's the metro.
The subway.
Yeah. I don't have a whole lot of feelings toward this level.
This level's very weird. It's just, showing everyone waiting to get in line.
Yeah.
Did you see that section? It was like behind one of the walls where all the people were dancing. There's a bunch of people who had like really, really dark skin. And like different proportions. Like they almost looked like androids.
No.
What?
I don't know. It was weird. There were these people who were in like orange. Oh, knowing this game, actually, I think they were in like orange jumpsuits, and they were in these shipping containers, and they were like doing stuff with these boxes.
Yeah.
And I think they all had like really dark skin. I'm guessing this was maybe a bit on incarceration, but I couldn't figure out what was happening. There was no words or anything around there. It was just.
You mean like with like all the boxes in the fenced area?
Yeah.
I thought they were wearing balaclavas.
Oh.
Yeah.
Huh. Why were they all wearing the same outfits that were orange?
I don't actually know.
Yeah. I don't know. It was really weird. I couldn't make heads or tails of it.
Right, okay. I thought they were wearing balaclavas, but I didn't like have like a good look at them. I thought I saw stitching. Yeah. And then I was like, oh, okay.
This game's not that detailed in its like texture detail.
Yeah, no. I thought using the light posts as ramps to get from one part of the one side level to the other was neat.
What?
Okay, so you've got the trains, and you've got like the line, on one side of like the queue of people, rather.
Yeah, yep.
And then you've got the trains, and you've got like the boxed areas,
like the dancing party on the other side.
Yeah. And you've got like the area with like the shipping containers and all that stuff. Yeah. There are these like lampposts which have got like they look like seagull shaped at the top. I was using those as bridges to get from one side of the world to the other, and I just thought that was a clever piece of level design.
Cool.
Obviously, didn't work for you too.
Totally missed it.
Yeah. Right. Okay.
I mean, there's like a walkway, like.
Yeah, it's long stairs.
I guess.
Yes, long stairs. How do you get up to the streetlights?
Boxes. Well, you can just double jump onto the train.
Why do you have a double jump in this game?
I don't know. I'm glad you do.
Yeah, I mean, I think I would have preferred just one single capable jump rather than a single jump that is actually terrible, followed by the second jump that is the only one that actually does something.
Yeah, yeah. And then there's the invasion level.
Yes, where you're back on the skyscraper.
Yeah.
And there's more people, and shit's fucked.
Yeah, you're basically there to just, like, see out the world at that point.
I liked the distance with the three Evangelion units.
Yeah, like, their cool silhouettes on the horizon. Yeah,
on the red horizon.
And the giant kaiju in the back with the explosion sort of, like, hitting it and it, like, not moving
not
at
caring.
All. Yeah.
Yeah.
This was what I meant by this game was... was it like a photography sim to bear witness the end of the world?
Yeah.
Like at this point, it's like everyone there is literally just trying to have as a nicer time as they can before like the world is like ended.
That's kind of a theme with all of these levels. Is like these kids can do nothing for any of these events. It's nothing that they can do.
Yeah.
They can't do anything against an Evangelion if they're protesting. They can't do anything if they're locked in a building. They can't do anything while they're waiting in a subway. They can't do anything while they're on a train.
Yeah.
They can't do anything while they're waiting on this skyscraper, waiting for this fight to probably go badly.
Yeah.
Do you think it was 2024? I threw a sign that said 2024, but I don't know if that was like...
When it said?
Yeah.
I'm not sure. I didn't see that sign.
There was a sign that said like Reclaiming Pride 2024 or something like
that.
Wow. And I was like, that's too soon actually.
Yeah, that's a steep descent.
And then there's the final little bit.
The final little moment.
Mm.
Which is very interesting. What did you take? What was your last photo of?
I mean, like the kaiju thing on top of the tower, and like
of course, I took a photo of that.
Yeah.
My last photo was of the star people.
The people, I got them in as well. I tipped it sideways.
Oh yeah,
I did like the tilted. Yeah.
No, I just took a photo of all the people and the crabs and the birds.
That was probably a better way to end it. Maybe.
That's why I asked, because I was nicer. Like, I wonder if you could end this differently, like. Mm. Like, in my head, I was like, I wonder if the game doesn't end if you take a photo of the kaiju and you have to take a photo of the people. But no, I think it's you get to
anything,
take the last photo,
yeah,
I guess.
Like, you get to see what the final journal of the universe is, basically.
Who were the star people?
I'm guessing that's something... I guessed that this is something to do with Maori culture, and this is like the, you know... I don't know enough about Maori culture.
Yep.
To even pretend, but it gave me vibes of like Dreamtime, you know, kind of in terms of Australian Aboriginal sort of vibes with these people and these animals, these spirits who were otherworldly watching the end.
I don't really know.
Yeah.
No.
I don't think you're really supposed to.
No, like that, right? I think it's like it's intentionally vague.
Yeah.
But I think I enjoyed that, like, they were still your, like, you could tell it was the silhouettes of your friends that you have throughout the, like, is there like the bunny ears on one of the characters, for example. It was like a goodbye almost.
Yeah.
As like a goodbye to the world from the final people that are existing.
It's like in a sitcom when you get to the last episode, like an old one, and like all the characters, like in Scrubs, when JD leaves the hospital, all of the characters like line the walls of the last, and it's like, why would you do that? That's a really awkward thing to do, but that's like, it's just really artificial, because it's a show, it is artificial, and they go through this really artificial thing where they all say something to him on the way out. It's like, oh, this character, that character died, what's he doing here?
It's, you very know. On brand of you to relate this back to Scrubs somehow.
Wasn't there a season after that?
Oh, fuck that season. Fuck that season, man. Don't even talk to me about that. I've never even seen it. That's how bad that season is.
I would laugh so hard if you went back and watched the final season and you loved it. Like, something about it hit, like, a different note with you and you were like, oh, but I really liked
it. It's bad. I saw one season on TV once.
One season on TV once.
I saw one episode on TV once.
Right.
It's bad. And Aziz Ansari's in it. Blech.
I like Aziz Ansari.
Yeah, but he did a thing.
He does some bad things.
Has he actually?
Yeah.
You have to tell me later.
Okay.
You can Google it on your own.
Sorry.
I don't want to. Okay.
Sorry.
Thanks.
Mechanics. Let's talk about them.
Both you and I just took a deep breath.
I wish that it gave me more of an instruction on how to take photos, what the slow shutter speed and fast shutter speed. Did anyone flick through those?
No. I went through the controls and I saw there were so many buttons. There were so many buttons to do so many things.
It seems really... I mean, maybe if you were to go back and replay it again, then maybe I would put more effort into actually taking photos. But like by the end of this, I was taking blurry photos and just getting it to move the story across. I don't think I even touched the sliders like at all, really.
I did in the first level and then I didn't have the time.
It doesn't give you enough... rewards for putting effort into your photos, I don't think.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
And I think, so the tutorial is this like fake slideshow, right?
Yeah.
Of this person wearing a mask. Cat ignores you. Of this person wearing a mask and talking about it and being like, oh, taking photos. We're going to grade your photos on color, composition, and content. But also, it's art, so take photos of whatever you want. And I'm like, oh, okay, that's cool. I kind of like that. And then, but then also they do grade your photos on those things, and that those things determine how much value you get for them. So it's like, oh, it's art. Don't worry about it. But also make $150 this level.
Yeah.
And so I feel like there's so many parts of this game that are at odds with the like tone, you know, where it's like, oh, art's cool. This is a gray color. So like, it's not going to rate high on color, but also like, this is a mood, isn't it? I'm like, I guess. What are you saying? And so all of your pictures are graded with money, and you get less money for taking photos of things. Even if you think it's a good photo, you're like, oh, I'm going to take a photo of this bird looking at the sunset. And they're like, oh, this is washed out. You get like $1.60 for it. And I'm like, what the fuck?
But also like you don't use the money for anything anyway. So there's like, even if you don't get enough money for the level to get the extra bonus, like
every single photo you take earns you money for this optional objective.
Yeah.
Which makes it feel far less than optional.
Yeah.
Every single level has a time limit to do all the objectives by. On the first time you play it, I wouldn't care about that. Sorry, June. I wouldn't care about that time limit if it was there on a go around.
Yeah.
But it's literally on the screen the entire time.
Like, what was the point of that?
For the optional objective to deliver to finish a level within 10 minutes, it's an optional objective for every level.
I have more to say about that than that. I think my reading of the game, and this is not a defense of the mechanics. Because I think, like, for the most part, I think, like, I lean towards agreement in all of that stuff. I don't think it bothered me as much. I also was doing a lot of levels under time, though. I was just like,
yeah, why are you so good at this game? Like,
yeah, what's up with that?
Jeremy was like, it'll take you 3 hours for the main game and half an hour for the DLC. I think it took me about 5.5 hours to finish all of it. All of the levels took me like a long time.
I finished two or three levels at a time, and all of the others were over.
And I was getting frustrated.
Me too.
That didn't help either.
I have a camera. Like, I do photography sometimes. I don't know if that was part of it.
Yeah, I mean, me too a little bit.
But I mean, like most of the game is like, you know, find the object. I don't know why I was having an easier time finding everything. Maybe it was just because I got the traversal faster than other people, perhaps.
Maybe. I mean, what was your read of the objectives, though? Like, why didn't you mind the optional objectives?
So, I think the game... I think a lot of, like, the... And this is why I'm saying I think it's a defense of the inclusion of it, but not a defense of the mechanics themselves, is that the people that are hiring you to do all this stuff is part of the UN. Right, like the UN is making you, like the ruling class are the ones that are making you do all these things. And a lot of these things are meaningless, right? Like, what you're taking photos of is not the important things in the level. You never once take a photo of the sad people that are on the train.
You're not meant to.
Like they don't care if you do that. You're specifically not meant to take photos of the blue bottles. You are being asked to, in my mind, my read of it was like create the propaganda that they would then use with arbitrary, like dumbass requirements. The 10 minutes, the get enough photos that we can give you this much money, the get a group shot of your friends, get a picture of this postcard.
I would have thought this was so clever they'd told me that.
And I think a lot of that, like, I mean, this game is literally like show don't tell the game.
Yeah, exactly.
And like they do that like literally to a fault.
I agree.
But like my read of it was like a lot of these things are intentionally like not obtuse, but like awkward and unnecessary. There's no failing levels in this game. You do everything until you pass, right?
Yes.
There's no like, oh, you did it over 10 minutes, you got to do it again faster. There's no...
Well, that's the thing, right? Like, I was thinking about my criticism as I had it,
yeah,
where I was like, fuck, I wish they didn't give me this time limit, at least not on my first go around. And I knew the response to that is, it's optional, ignore the timer. But it's designed...
It's a bit hard when it's flashing red in the corner of your screen.
Exactly.
Right?
It's designed to focus you on it anyway. Like, it's designed to funnel you into being focused on it. If I meant to ignore the timer, then, like, make it less of a deal.
Which I think is what, like, is almost, like, the crux of the game, which is higher powers telling you to focus on one thing when the actually important thing is not what you're being told to focus on at any given moment.
Yeah.
There's an article that was written.
Can I just say, I was under no impression that these kids were, or this one kid that we played as, were hired by the UN.
Yeah, I mean, like, I don't think it anywhere says that you are hired by the UN, but I think you are hired by whatever elite is there. You're not going to be hired by someone who also knows the world is going to end.
Yeah.
I
guess you're like making deliveries and actually earning money for the photos. I guess it makes sense.
Yeah, like at the end of the day, like what the fuck's the point of the money, right? Like if the world's ending, who would be the only ones that actually care about, you know, paying for things while the world is ending? It would be them.
Yeah. I think that time limit and the, I know I'm harping on it, but I think the reason why it got me so much is because all of these levels, like you said in Minimapcast, Jeremy, is that Oomarungi Generation is a game about moments.
Yeah, it's a game about exploring places.
And I didn't feel like I had any time to explore. Like, could you imagine if the time is not on screen, everyone? Imagine if the 10-minute timer objective is only something you unlock when you beat the game once. You know, it's like Journey, you know, where it's like, play it again and your cape will grow longer. It's not like play this game the first time to make your cape grow longer. And you're like, oh, Journey's a game about making my cape grow longer. Like no one got that from Journey the first time they played it. Turns out Journey's about the journey and not about making your cape grow longer. Or imagine if all of the objectives you had to get were question marks, right? Like every single one of them, all seven of them. And that there was no timer and that you were let loose on the scene. And you just took photos of what you wanted. And then you would find the random things of like take it as you got the objectives ticked off accidentally. It was like, oh, I accidentally took a photo of the word gamer seven times in that street level.
I think that they still could have had the objectives there, but I think that maybe if they didn't have the time, if they had more of an incentive for me to actually take nice photos,
yeah,
then I would have explored the areas.
There were
some really beautiful levels, and I wish that I was able to explore them in more depth, I guess.
I was just going through ticking off the objectives.
Yeah, you weren't looking around, you were just looking for those specific things.
Exactly, and I wasn't hurried to do so. I had enough time to play this game, and I didn't want to explore. I didn't care to.
Mm.
It didn't, like, I was, it was just... The mechanics of the game took away from what I felt like the core experience was meant to be, which was to be in these moments and to understand what these people were going through and to go around the corner and ask questions of myself and be like, oh, what's going on if I think of that? And take the time to contemplate and take the time to be in this world. But every time I would just try to tick off the objectives as fast as I could, and it got to 10 plus minutes and I couldn't find the other stuff, and eventually I would look it up and I'd find the answer and I'd be like, ugh, and I'd finish it and then I'd move on. Mm. Which I felt took away in every level from every level.
Yeah, which is why I think what I was saying is that, like, I'm not defending the timer as a mechanic.
Yeah.
Maybe if it was 20 minutes, I might have been, like, better in terms of, like, because I feel like the timer does a good job at making you feel like this is a moment, like this moment isn't going to last forever. Mm-hmm. And it's like the thing about photography is sometimes you just don't get that perfect shot all the time because the moment has passed.
Yeah, but there's nothing like that in this game that happens.
Yeah, I know, and that's because, like, the game is for the most part
it's trying to say too many things at once that it's just getting blown out or washed out or something, like. Remember, choose one of those things and stick to it, maybe. I'm going to grab some more. What really frustrated me was, like, in those levels where, like, I don't know, the timer's telling me to hurry up, and I'm trying to take a photo of something that I know is correct.
Yeah.
Like, the word cop. I'm trying to take a photo of the word cop.
Yeah.
I have about 50 photos of the word cop. This stage, it's like, this doesn't, like, it's just, it's, it was so frustrating to a point where it's like, I have to look up a walkthrough, because, like, it was just, I was not enjoying it anymore. That and, like, the kiwi bird also had issues with that. Yeah,
I found that was tricky, though. There were some of these where I was like, man, I found it, but I could have missed this.
Yeah. I don't know. That was annoying, I suppose.
Yeah. It's a little bit janky. There were a few times where, like, I was getting stuff and I was like, why is this? And then the one that stumped me the longest was in one of the city levels, there was a bloodhound.
Yeah, that was hard.
Yeah, like that one, like, I looked for a while before I found that.
I got that one pretty easy.
Yeah. So. I mean, like, and that's the thing, because, like, the kiwi I found immediately.
Right.
And I was like, oh, shit.
I found the kiwi, but I just couldn't take a photo of it. Like, I was trying to take a photo of it, but it just wouldn't.
Was it this?
It wasn't zoomed in enough, or, like, it wasn't, I don't know, far away enough. Like, it just wasn't working.
Did you know you had to use the different lenses?
Yeah, I was using different lenses, and specifically the cop one, like,
I was at my limit. It's a pain point.
That, and also the collider on the player is annoying and sticky when he jumps sometimes.
Yeah,
and for a game that's, like, has quite a little platforming in it.
I found the platforming much easier once I got the roller skates.
Did you?
Yeah,
it didn't add to my jump.
When did you get the roller skates?
You get it at the very end. Yeah. You get it, like, I think the second last level. Yeah.
I thought you got them in macro.
Yeah.
You unlock them after Gamer's Paradise.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
I see.
Yeah, it was a macro edition, because you get that and you get the spray paint.
Yeah.
What did you actually use the spray paint for? I didn't use it for anything.
It's just for, like, aesthetics. You can just, like, I wrote ACAB a bunch of times and, like, took a photo of that and I was like, neat.
I'm sure that's what they intended for you.
Yeah, like, I'm not one to do, like, drawing in 3D spaces, but I've seen some cool shit online. I feel of people using that to, like, really good effect.
I think that's all I've got written down.
I think...
The music, fucking excellent.
Oh, so good.
I am gonna...
It's all on Spotify.
Yeah, excellent.
It's all on fucking Spotify.
There was a lot of it too. Like, all these tracks, they were like 2 or 3 minutes long only.
And it's like recognizable enough that when the song comes on again, you know it. Like,
But at the same time, like, each level had like 6 tracks on it or something.
Yeah.
Which is great. It didn't make me, you know, that would have sent me. If it had like 2, 3 minute tracks and after 6 minutes it started repeating. Oh man. But it didn't, so it's good.
Maybe it was just like my game or something, but sometimes that a new track would start and it would be like a tiny little bit louder than the other track and it'd be like,
whoo. Oh.
Just get me.
Oh, I didn't notice. Like I said, I turned down my audio.
Yeah.
I didn't particularly notice.
Yeah.
I think something that there is a moment. So I played this game. I did the subway level and then Sam was making dinner last night, so then dinner was ready. And so I didn't realize there was only one more level left. But what that gave me was a break. And so I went away after having played the subway level and I was sitting on the couch, had finished dinner and we were just watching something. I tuned out and I started thinking about, I was like, oh, what's the meaning? I'm missing this game. I'm not fully on board with it yet. I'm like, okay, I guess it's like what it's like them hanging out when this like conflict is happening. And then I started to realize the story once I thought about it. And I started to piece, I, you had to draw the links between those moments because you got literally none of the time in between.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, you know, this is the barracks near the, I guess, near where they're stationed. So they got to visit and, you know, everything was kind of calm. And then they went to the city and that's just how kids partied in this time. And then like shit happened. And then they, oh, yeah, they kind of, they had to travel, didn't they? They kind of became like refugees. This is kind of, oh, and then they're stuck in this. And I started to piece it together. And that moment of like thinking about it critically and not that critically, but thinking about it and understanding what was happening, I think was quite powerful for me. And I was there for that. And I think I would have, I wish the game helped me to have those moments inside of it rather than after the fact, because I felt like the mechanics were just pushing me. Move. Don't take bad photos. Like, yeah. Yeah.
So would you like more levels or would you like a transition in between the levels?
I want the optional objectives to be only available on a replay of the level.
Right, okay.
I don't want to be focusing on finding my... I want finding the group shot in every level. I want that to be in there because that was fun every time to find my friends. But after that, I don't want the money limitation. I don't want the
money limitation.
Not the limitation, but the goal. I don't want the money goal.
Oh, right, okay.
I don't want the timer goal. I don't want those in there. And I, you know, the objectives being in there is fine, but I like the idea of not knowing what the objectives are to start with. So you literally have to explore the level and make...
I think that would have given me the shit, so...
It also would have given you the you would have just been like, I don't know what to take photos of. I'll just take photos of what I want, right?
Yeah.
And then
maybe instead of having like none at the start, maybe there's like two at the start, and the more you take photos in the level, as in like not specifically of things, but just like the more you take photos, the more that they start.
And you have to explore a majority of the level maybe to find those first two, and by that point you start being like, oh, I think I saw an axe over there. Like, and that way it's like letting you sink in that, like for this game that's all about moments and it's all about that vibe with the aesthetic and the music and the animations and stuff like that, it doesn't let you soak it in.
They've crafted these really beautiful levels and then you're taking a picture of like a word on a wall. Like, I feel like if they maybe had you take pictures of, I know that that's part of the story, like you were saying, submit pictures for someone else, but like if they were like, here's this really pretty thing that we've constructed up there, take a photo of it, it's part of the objective. I don't know, maybe that would be an idea.
Well, I still think in my mind you almost fighting against what the game is trying to tell you to do is part of the story. And you know, like, and like I have my own internal thoughts about like that and like that in other games as well. Like when I hear about Suda Games and how he's got like a crappy different version of the same game inside of his own game, and in my mind I'm like, that's just playing a crappy video game. I have those conversations of like, well, he's kind of going for something sort of unique and that's kind of neat, but also I also am still playing a crappy video game version of a different game that's already better. Why would I not just play the better version? And like I have those internal fights with myself of that, and I do wonder how much of Umurangi I would lose if the game was intentionally showing you the beautiful moments or intentionally giving you the nice moments to show off part of the world, but it then loses that other part of the conversation, which is like the powers that be are trying to, like, they don't care about that stuff. Like, they don't care about the beautiful people dancing in the street. They don't care about the art that's been created elsewhere. They don't care about like this living despite the war, for example.
Yeah.
They care about pushing forward their own narrative, which is the monotonous, boring, like, you know, take a photo of the word cops because someone wrote cops on a wall and that way they can use it in a newspaper or something. Well, you know, I'm extrapolating that, but like I think the game does a good job at showing you the beginning of something that is like much worse than what is actually there. And I wonder how much of the game it would lose some of its impact if it didn't have the crappy mechanics, which is a balancing act I don't actually know how to do.
Yeah.
It's odd. It's like, it's a weird game. Umurangi Generation is a very strange video game.
Yeah.
And
props to him for just trying to tell a story through images. through just through a photo taking mechanic that is very robust.
Yeah, and it's like, as someone who operates a DSLR, like there's a lot of, like, I knew what a lot of that stuff already did, like shutter speed, aperture, all that shit. I was like, oh, I know all of this stuff is. I know how to manipulate what photos I'm going to take. Similarly, I'm in the Umurangi Generation Discord. There's a lot of people in the Discord who have decided to take up photography as a passion because of this game, and went out and bought a camera that has the features that they know how to use from the game, and that's gone out and taken their own photos, which is like really quite sweet and lovely.
I think you get a lot out of this game depending on what you're coming to it with. Like, you're coming to it with that more critical lens, Jeremy, and I think you've listened to a few more like critical discussions on it as well than like we have, for example.
Yes.
You know, you have that lens. Like, I didn't once care about who I was taking the photos for or why they were asking for them. I just felt like I was doing the video game thing in the video game, and that was boring.
Yeah.
I don't know. I this is probably just on me as a person. It's like I don't really think, if it's not like a hand fed to me, that I don't really think critically about games enough on my own, I guess. Like, I like listening and just discussing it afterwards to then broaden my perspective on it, I guess. But like, I don't know. I think a game for someone that likes to think. I don't know.
It's a thinking person game.
I think it is, honestly, though.
I don't know. Maybe that just means I'm dumb, but that's fine.
I don't think so.
I think you know that there are critiques about like not giving you enough in terms of like, you know, like I'm reading into a lot of things, which, you know, I'm doing the death of the author thing. I'm doing my reading of it. The only thing that I specifically got from the author was that Macro is a prequel. All the other stuff is like, it's, you know, it was my reading or someone else's reading which made sense to me and I picked up or something like that. But like, it's, you know, you can have, you like, you know, taking games at face value isn't like a, it's not an invalid perspective.
Where does it sort of lie? It's like, how good is a game if you have to go and look up reasons, you know, of like what it meant, if it's not portrayed well enough, you don't
like
understand
Dark Souls
yourself.
Where it's like, oh, I love the story in Dark Souls, but like, turns out you have to read every item description to get anything from it.
Yeah it's like it's same with like, you know, the lore in Destiny being in novels inside of the game or
grimoire,
but at
cards.
Least it's there.
Yeah,
no. It's just don't get me started on Destiny lore.
There's a it's a good article, but there was a
You brought this up like 40 minutes ago.
Yeah, no, that's all right. Like there was a great article which has got like a really good headline as well. Like, I'm not going to bother reading the article, but the headline is Umurangi Generation, a photography game that urges you to look closer. From the Washington Post, written by Mikhail Klimentov. It's a very good article. It's well worth a read, talking about like literally talking about the conversation we just had about how like some of the game feels like pixel hunting, but that's not the part you remember. Like,
no,
a lot of the objectives, for example, while they are like the like I said, the objectives of the game, after spending a month away from the game, a little bit more, like, I don't remember what most of them are. I remember what a handful are because I was like, hey, kiwi bird, but like, a lot of the objectives, they're not what I remember from that game.
No.
And I think that also plays into its own, like, you are there for the moment. And, you know,
I mean, what if you'd been... I keep going back to the dance level. The street party.
Yeah.
And I keep thinking about how I wanted to care. And I keep thinking about how it would have been so cool if I wasn't worried about the timer, I wasn't worried about the objectives. So I wasn't going through looking at all the graffiti looking for a bloodhound. You know, instead of going into that underground bit and seeing all this gorgeous neon artwork and seeing all these people dancing, I was just like looking at the walls like, where's a bloodhound? Bloodhound, 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 two cats, bloodhound, two cats, bloodhound, bloodhound, two cats, bloodhound, two cats. What's over there? Bloodhound, two cats. Like, I've said it like 8 times. I'm gonna stop saying it, but I wanted like, why make these moments to live in if they were just going to shuffle me through it anyway?
I still think that was the point.
What, to shuffle me through it?
To like...
The disparity between beautiful moments and quick do it because everything's going to end.
Well, like, the quick do it because that's like
your job.
Yeah, like that's my job here. That's what I'm being employed to do here. I'm not employed to sit around here and look at all the cool things. I'm employed to take arbitrary photos of people who want to use my photography for something else.
I think which would be fine. We've had this conversation.
We've had it already.
Which would be fine if it told you that you were a photographer working for someone else.
Yeah, it's
But I don't think it explains that well enough. Anyway.
Yes, moving on.
Music fucking slaps.
I
honestly keep going back to the music. Like it's. I've listened to it enough that it started to rotate into my daily mixes on Spotify.
Yeah. And you're happy every time.
Oh, I'm gonna have a shower. Fuck yeah. Let's listen to some Boomerangi. There's so many. It's like, I was talking to my housemate about this because we were listening to music, and my housemate and I have like similar tastes in music. And he goes, I really wish there was like. Some like someone that was like sampling the style of PlayStation 1 fucking like songs. And I had finished Umurangi Generation, I think the day before.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, fucking let me tell you what I got to show you. Yep. And we just like sat in my room and he's like, this is literally exactly what I was after. This is exactly what I was fucking after. It's real good. And it's great to listen to. Like there are some game soundtracks you listen to outside of the game and it's like, eh, it doesn't like really matter. I was listening to Thumper music outside of the game.
Nothing. Can you listen to Thumper music outside of Thumper?
Not really.
No.
No. There was another music-based game that had that as well. I was like, oh, that sucks.
Sayonara Wild Hearts?
No, it was Tetris Effect.
Oh.
I was like, I really dig the music of Tetris Effect. And then listening to it outside of the game, I was like, I'm not enjoying listening to this at all. Mm. Which was
some of the music in Tetris Effect is actually pretty naff.
Like, tell you what's a good soundtrack to listen to outside of the game. It's Pyre.
Hey, that's a really good point. That soundtrack.
Hades, not so much, though.
Yeah, agreed.
Yeah,
I listened to both of them outside, and Hades doesn't really do it.
Yeah, the Hades Pyre music does, a little bit more.
I think who said that the other day? Was it you that said that it's like Hades is supposed to be more of like background music, whereas Pyre is like, you know, every sort of section of that game is segregated, so you need to have like recognizable music for each section, which is why it's easier to listen to outside, I think.
The other thing is Hades is made to be able to be played for hundreds of hours.
Yes. Yeah.
Whereas Pyre is about moments. Griffin has decided to make her first appearance on Minimap podcast material, so get ready for that. Pyre soundtrack.
Anyway, sorry, not Pyre again.
tell me, why did this game, for you, beat Final Fantasy? Mm. And why did it beat... What was second?
It was close.
What was second on your list?
Final Fantasy was second on my list.
Was it just
what
because
was third on your list?
Something that made a big impact on me.
I forgot what it was.
Sheets.google.com. Wasn't Spelunky? Was it?
No, that was me.
No. You said it wasn't in any order. It was like second and third were the same.
It was Hades.
Hades.
Why did it beat those two?
Yeah.
Was it just because of what it said?
I think it was what it said, it was how it was delivered.
Mm. Yeah.
It's a story that's very rarely told. It's very unapologetic about it. Mm. Like it doesn't care about like bullshit both sides. It doesn't care about like my most hated phrase, which is radical centrism. It doesn't care about like not like it is opinionated and it is bold and it is brash in a lot of ways, but it's also like correct and human.
Yes.
In a way that like I think Final Fantasy VII does a really good job and has got some really good conversations about that similar thing, especially Barrett. Barrett holds similar stances to like Umurangi Generation. I think like Final Fantasy VII has a lot of other things that it has to go through. This is Umurangi is very distilled. It's like 8 levels, which I was finishing in 10 minutes each. And so at the end of it, I was like, Yeah, like I was like an hour and a half and a little bit more.
I can't believe you were finishing it faster and getting more out of it than I was. Like, I'm so annoyed.
How many times have you replayed it now?
Only twice. But like, but I replayed more of it last night.
Yeah.
But I wasn't doing all the objectives last night. I was just going back through and just like, just getting...
Just refreshing.
Yeah, like just getting myself re-caught up with the game. Yeah. I think it's like topical, but not like stale in a lot of ways. That is very hard to balance, in a way that was like you don't see that in games often. It is obviously more prevalent in the indie space than it is in the AAA space. We're probably very, I would not have a clue what single AAA game would say the things that it says in this game. And I think it was saying in a way that was like almost therapeutic. It's things that someone like myself has been saying all year and beforehand, right? Like, this is not like a new... Oh my God, a mouse just went on top of that fence.
Yeah, that happens.
That's cool.
Sorry about that.
It was saying things that like that I have been like, me and a lot of other people have been screaming from the rooftops for a long time to deaf ears, and seeing that shown in this way throughout this game was therapeutic and relieving and like confirming in a way that made the reason why you struggle and fight against these things not like reinvigorated, but it was like at least like accepting of, you know, going to protests, talking about that sort of thing, you know, ACAB, all that shit, right? Like, it is a good distillation of a lot of that stuff to a sick-ass cyberpunk setting in rad with rad music.
Best cyberpunk game of 2020.
Oh my God, it's not even close. Yeah, I think that was why. Like, I still truly do love Final Fantasy VII and Hades.
Yeah, no. I wasn't saying like, oh, why wouldn't you? But I was just wondering like, what was the edge?
Yeah, like I don't have like a clear cut answer apart from the long winded one I just gave. But like, yeah, it was just like a combination of a lot of those things.
Here's a question.
Sure.
What would you put first, Outer Wilds or Numenera?
Outer Wilds. I do truly think that Outer Wilds, for what it is a perfect game. There are things I would change in a Morangi. I don't know what I would change in Outer Wilds.
No, me either. I think I had some things that I would change in Outer Wilds when I was more recently playing it, but they clearly didn't stick around.
Mm.
They have updated and changed that game since we've played it as well.
What?
Yeah.
Why?
No, in a good way. As in people like... to get to certain parts of the game, some people like were saying like for me to understand this to this is a little bit obtuse, and so like they're just like fixing some of the through lines, fixing some
like
of the
like they're direction. Continuing to make like bespoke designed content,
like subtle, but yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah. I don't know if they're still doing it like throughout most of last year, but like months after, like 6 months after we'd played that game, like wow. they were
That's
updating
cool.
and improving that game.
Glad. We played this.
Me too.
I'm very curious to see how you feel about it in 6 months, 3 months, a month.
Me too. And I think I will think about it.
Mm. I think you won't be able not to, I think is maybe my favorite thing about the game.
Yeah. I'm going to be thinking about the story. I'm going to be thinking about what it was trying to tell me. And not once am I going to be thinking about the objectives it gave me, what that meant about who was hiring me, and blah, 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 blah. You want to say hi, Griff?
Griffin.
Griff doesn't want to say hi.
Just want to whinge. It's dinner time. She hasn't had dinner.
Neither have we. Let's wrap this up.
Yeah, fair enough. But yeah, no, I do think I will be thinking about this, the plot and the message of this game for a long time.
Yeah.
Cool. Next month. We are going to be joined by Ollie, who has been on the podcast before.
Mm-hmm. Friend of the show.
Ollie, who joined us for the Catherine episode, which was a fun episode.
Eh.
No, we didn't. That was
last
Shane.
Last day of June.
Ollie joined us for the last day of June episode, which was a bad game.
ding, 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 ding.
We're going to not play a game like that, hopefully. I don't know. We'll figure it out. Next month's game of the podcast is...
Paratopic.
And, so join us then next time for that video game from that developer and publisher. They came out.
You want to say bye, Griffin?
No, she don't want to speak.
No. You can find everything that we do on minimap.com.au. You can support us at patreon.com/minimapau. June, where can they find you on Twitter?
Junez, JUN_EWS.
Kerry, where can they find you on Twitter?
KJPalmer_24.
You can find me at you can find me on Twitter at @Obi-Wan_Jez. And yeah, we will see you next time. I think that's everything I need to talk about.
I think so.
Yeah. Cool. We will see you next time. Thank you very much for listening.
Thanks, team.